This is a Defocus Media production.
This is Lunch Date with Rachel and Kate, a Defocus Media production. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Kate.
Hey, Kate, what's happening?
Not much. I've had a crazy past couple of weeks. I took part three last week.
Yay!
Literally the day before the hurricane came in and hit North Carolina.
Oh my gosh.
So, so I did it. I'm still alive. Yay. I'm 2/3 done.
Woo!
Then I started studying for part two.
Oh.
So, just lots of boards. I got to see Evan and Juliet this weekend. So that's really happy. What about you? What are you up to? How's life?
Life is good. I've just been exploring DC. I went to Mount Vernon. I went to Ford's Theater. Went to a bunch of museums. It's being in DC, I'm really trying to like soak in the American history and get like a good American feeling. So I'm trying to read some history books.
Yeah.
And really, I'm just listening to books on tape. I don't have time to read anything, but I'm having a good time.
Good.
Yeah.
That's so exciting. What's the latest book you're listening to?
Oh, it's called like Founding Brothers or something.
Oh, I've heard of that one. Perks of having a husband that teaches history.
I'm only a couple chapters in, but it's interesting. They're talking about how like Washington, D.C. became the capital and how it was like took a really long time to get built. So that's interesting as I walk home.
That is really interesting.
Yeah.
So I know we've been having a lot of topics. I didn't know if you had a new one come to mind.
Yes, it's this gigantic celebration that is happening September 17th through the 21st of 2018. It is Para-Optometric Recognition Week.
Wow!
Party!
Because they are fantastic human beings
that
deserve all that recognition and more. I mean, they know so much. Like, I've learned so much from para-optometric staff for lots of years. Rachel, you know what's on the menu this week?
What?
We're having cake because we're celebrating the Paramount Optometric staff, and I feel like every celebration needs a cake, and they're sweet.
So I used to be a tech back before I went to optometry school, and I was I was wholly incompetent. So
why do you think this about yourself?
I don't know. It was just really hard. They have a like real skill. Getting that information fast and presenting it in a good, clear way is like such a talent. So I really appreciate what they bring to the table.
They are literally the face. Like, they're the first people see. And like, you know, as a tech, you also have to convince people to like do things, and you're not the doctor.
Yeah.
As a student, I felt that. And it's like, you're kind of like, why? Like, I know what I'm talking about. Like, trust me. And so like, they deserve celebration.
Yeah. It's the 40 years anniversary of the Para-Optometric Resource Center.
Ooh, that's kind of cool. Where did you find that?
Oh, I found it on AOA.org, where I'm finding a bunch of information. For example, they are now taking submissions and nominations for people to win these para-optometric awards. And I think, okay, doctors listening, you need to be recommending your staff because they're doing great work for you and they need to be nominated to be recognized. And it would be amazing if this year they got the most nominations ever. If you have a good staff member, nominate them for one of these awards. Look, we got, let me tell you, we got Para-Optometric of the Year Award. We have Para-Optometric Community Service Award. We have the Lifetime Achievement Award. I'm sure that someone that you know deserves that.
Yeah.
Please make a nomination. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. I love public praise. So I think publicly praising like people that deserve it is an awesome thing.
Me too.
And the thing is like, let's say that you nominate a person and they don't win it because not everybody can win, which sucks, but it's a real life thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is like, let them know, because they deserve to know.
Yeah. There are, it really does mean a lot to know that your boss thinks highly enough of you to nominate you for something, or to even put in writing the qualities that the boss thinks that the employee possesses. That's really important because what if they need a recommendation for something? Mm-hmm. They know they can go to you.
Exactly.
So what are some other things that we can do to foster good relationships and recognize para-optometric staff?
I just feel like as a, like managing a staff in general is like you have to learn the fine line of being a boss and being a leader and like being in like being able to be a good manager and not a good just like dictator. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
there's a fine line, I feel like, between all of those. Like, there's some things where if you look on, so I pin a lot of things on Pinterest about, like, how to be a good leader and characteristics of a good leader and, like, things that people admire and, like, a big bad boss that's, you know, like, when you have to be the boss, you tell them what to do. But if you're a leader, you sell them what to do. And, like, a big boss plans the details and a leader sets the direction. And I think there's a balance that you have to be a good leader and you have to be a good manager and you have to be a good boss. So at sometimes you have to say, this is what we're doing because you're the boss. And sometimes you could be like, okay, like, let's try this cool thing and let's sell everybody on this idea. You know?
Yeah.
I think celebrating your staff and allowing them to be leaders and also giving staff management and like paraoptometric staff, giving them responsibilities that you can celebrate them on. I don't know. I think that's just really cool. As like, rather than saying like, I'm going to do all these things because I can't give up control, which I deal with a lot. It's like giving that control to other people. And it shows like your, how highly you think of them too.
Yeah. Another thing that you can do for your staff is to help them accomplish the goals that they have. And that first thing you need to do is you need to know what goals your staff has. You need to have a conversation with the employees and say, where do you see yourself and how can I help you get there? Would it be a good stepping stone on the path to your career goals if we got you certified, if we got you continuing education, if I helped write a recommendation for you? Like, is there anything that we can do to get you to where you want to be? How do I help you become the person that you want to be? How does this job get you forward?
Yeah, we do this with our patients all the time. Like, we literally ask them, like, what do you want out of this visit? Like, you know, you'll ask a patient in VT, like, why are you here? What do you want out of it? Like, you ask a low vision patient those same things, like patients with diseases, you say, like, oh, this is what I'm doing for you. What else can I do to help you? And so if we do that for our patients, like, why not do that for our staff?
Yeah.
Like, we care about our patients so much and, like, we should do the same thing for the people that we work with. I totally love that idea.
And I'm just looking at, you know, how we research for this podcast is we go to Google, we type in the subject of the podcast, and we click the first result.
Exactly.
But this time, I'm on the second result. This is 11 traits of a great employer. I just typed in how to be a great employer, and it's like so good. So let me tell you a few.
Please.
If you can offer a flexible work schedule for your employees, that would go a really long way. Making it possible for them to accommodate their own lifestyle and take care of their families, take care of their loved ones, take time for themselves. If you can make it possible for them to go to the doctor, give them time to not even have to give you an excuse. Just be like, I need this time off. I need to work from this time today instead of from that time to that time. That would be really helpful for a lot of people.
That would be so helpful.
So the next suggestion on here is make your workplace kid-friendly. I don't know.
Some of it is, it depends on the workplace. You know, like, not every workplace can be kid-friendly. Like, I can't necessarily bring my kids into the exam lane and just, like, I don't have any right now. But if I did, like, that's not necessarily something that I can do all the time. But
yeah, but it would be totally fine if you had, like, a teenage kid and they got done with school and you wanted them to sit in the back lane and do some homework while they're waiting for you to get off.
Yep.
That'd be fine. Sit in the break room, do some homework. I mean, that's okay with me.
Exactly. I mean, I think being able to provide opportunities for your staff to be people, you know, like taking that time off and not having any saying, I need a reason, you know, giving those flexible hours. I just think, how nice is that to be able to say, and sometimes you can't, you have to, you know, you have to say like,
yeah,
I mean, you have to show up to work and like, I can't, I need you here from 8 to 3. But since you're here 8 to 3 this day, what's another day that you want off early? And I'll manage that, you know? Or what is your week set like? So I can kind of help flex with that.
Yeah, it's really important to be able to compromise and to think of the person that you're dealing with as a person who deserves your respect.
Exactly.
Like, not, this person isn't trying to con me. This person isn't trying to get every minute from me. They're not milking the clock. They're a person who has needs, and I want to help them meet their needs.
Exactly. And I think that, like, that's, I just keep coming back to the thought of, like, we treat our patients this way all the time. And, like, why can't we treat our staff this way?
Yeah.
I think that's just something that we need, we need to think about is, like, we so try to assess the person in clinic and just, like, if you wouldn't treat a patient that way, why would you treat a staff member that way?
Yeah.
But just as, like, when we have patients, like, you have staff members, sometimes you need to say, this relationship isn't working.
Yeah.
And I need you to move on somewhere else. Or I think for you, it would be better if you moved on somewhere else. You know, sometimes you have to do that with patients, and you'll have to do that with staff, because sometimes it just doesn't work. Because patients, some of them you see just one day a year. So many you'll see more than one day a year, but, like, you see some one day a year so you can handle the crazy and the whatever one day a year. But, like, with your staff, that's not always the case. If it's not something that's working, you've got to manage that and go from there.
So if you're having a lot of turnover in your office, one thing that you can probably look at is, am I paying my staff a living wage? And that's something you can check really easily. Just Google living wage and, like, your zip code or your area. See what it takes to really put food on the table where you live. And see if you're paying your staff that. Because, I mean, it's all well and good to pay someone minimum wage, but that's not going to cut it. That's not going to make somebody want to work for you. That's not going to make someone feel respected. And these are skilled jobs. Being a tech, like, I'm 20 minutes away from being a doctor. I was a crappy tech.
Yeah.
Like, good techs are hard to come by.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, pay is such a huge thing. That's such a real thing that we're talking about in our world on a very everyday basis. That is something that comes up in topics politically, like within businesses, everything, all the time. That is something that we're all figuring out. And sometimes you can look at a high school kid and you're like, okay, I have a lot of turnover, but I'm inspiring, like, a lot of students to go to optometry school. Or I'm inspiring a lot of students to go into the medical profession. I work in a college town. I get students prepped and ready to go to optometry school or go to medical school or to be better X, Y, or Z. You know that the turnover isn't because you're not doing the things correctly or you're not paying a livable wage. It's just the nature of where you are and the kind of, you know, what you're producing. And if that's, you're okay with that, you're willing to train a tech every 3-4 years, this is great. But sometimes you don't want to, and that's fine too.
Some other things that you can do to keep your staff happy and motivated is to create, like, a positive, fun environment where they feel rewarded on a day-to-day basis. Okay, I used to work on this boat. It was a Hudson River cruise, Spirit of New York. Okay, have I told this story before?
I don't know, but you need to tell a fun fact about this cruise, right?
What is it?
Isn't this where you met the other Rachel?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I used to work with Rachel Bloom, who she's a crazy ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she's legit.
She's amazing. She was really good. We were singing waitresses, and they would motivate us by having these things called spirit bucks. So if you got caught, like, doing a good thing, they'd give you a spirit buck. And once you got enough spirit bucks, you could redeem it for certain things. Like, you could redeem it for a Subway card or, like, a tote bag or a jacket. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Yeah, and you have a jacket.
I do have a jacket. I have a tote also. But you know what? I think the MetroCard may have been the best value, but it just wasn't as fun.
No, I understand.
Like, wearing the jacket, you get to show your spirit for the place where you work. And yeah, it wasn't, like, the world's best job, but I loved getting those spirit bucks. Like, that is so dumb. But can you imagine, like, how cool it would be if at the end of the day, your staff is doing really great and you're like, hey, you guys did awesome today. Here's a scratcher or something. Just, like, some fun thing.
That would be so fun.
Wouldn't it be fun? It's like, here's a chance to win $1 million.
And if not, well, you got to scratch some.
Yeah, yeah. It's satisfying.
My family owned a Dairy Queen growing up. We opened it up when I was in second or third grade. In the mall. And so they had a lot of employees, and my mom was kind of the manager of the place. She'd be in a lot. And so I had a class where you got tickets and you got to buy certain things with tickets. But if you saved up your tickets at the end of the year, we would have an auction, and you would, you know, like, you could auction off ticket items and get it. So it was pretty cool. I mean, everything was like the El Cheapo stuff from, like, Oriental Trading, but we thought it was great. And so my mom thought it was a great idea and started doing it at work. And so we would come in and sometimes help. at the Dairy Queen, just because we would get them to school early, you know, or whatever. And so we would convince the employees to let us help them. And so we would all get this, like, you know, they would get all their tickets and we would have been entertained and they had to do half the work. But, you know, like, it was like scrubbing out the mop sink.
Oh, like, gosh.
Yeah. Like, it was like terrible. It was like very, like, not fun things, but I mean, people did them and things got cleaner and it was really good.
Yeah.
So I think there is something to be said. Like, I mean, that's two completely different environments and like people loved it.
It's so fun. It's fun to just get a dumb prize and be like, yeah, I did do a good thing. Thanks so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, again, that like public affirmation and public praise, like public praise is so important. I've really been into team building. Like, the thing that I just like team build the most with has been StrengthsQuest. I've always really enjoyed that because it focuses a lot on being a person that focuses on the positive and not on your weaknesses. And so just reinforcing the positive, and just being able to work as a team together. So, I have this thing that I've kind of worked on. It's like ways to build a team. So you need to like facilitate, which is like a great word because you need to like facilitate a discussion. If there's something going on, you don't need to like have a discussion. Like facilitating a discussion is so much nicer.
Yeah.
Like being able to manage staff and being able to use words that aren't aggressive is really important. Recognize, demonstrate, show. Like asking questions is really helpful rather than being like, so being like, tell me more about your frustrations about this X, Y, and Z rather than I see you're upset, you know?
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Like asking more about, you know, situations. And then also there was a point in, a document I put together. It says, ask if there are roles that a team member needs. Like, does a team member need to say like, they get really frustrated when something doesn't go right and they want to do it. Does a team member need that? Or do they need to feel control in a situation? Are you able to, what tasks can you give them to make them feel like they're in control again? You know, giving a team member a role is really important because it allows them to say, this is my role, this is where I fit, rather than I just show up here and I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I'm doing it right or wrong.
Yeah, that's really creative because I've worked at a bunch of jobs where it's like, that's not my job, should not be in your vocabulary. If someone asks you to do something, you need to do it. It's like, yeah, that's all well and good, but what actually is my job?
Yeah.
Like, which are my jobs? What do I do?
And having a mentality where you're able to, you know, share workloads and do things and be able to be trained enough that you can pick up where somebody leaves off is good. But being able to say, this is my role, and then this is when I need to step in to help because somebody else isn't fulfilling their role, gives you the ability to kind of know what you need in the workplace, as well as it's easier to do good when it's within the realm of what you know you're doing.
Yeah.
So it's easier for, like, especially as a doctor, to recognize your staff when they do go out above and beyond, but they're not overstepping their bounds in a role, you know? And then making sure to, like, evaluate a person on their work and not on work of others. Also remembering to mix up the teams, but also know when teams don't work. So making sure that you're mixing up, like, let's say you have somebody that is a tech Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you have a tech Tuesday, Thursday, and they never see each other. But so like maybe mixing it up so that there's one where they work half day Wednesday and they kind of go over things in an afternoon to make sure that they're, you know, over lunch or something to make sure things are going well, or, you know, giving that opportunity for things to be mixed up so that people can learn things, like learn new things, as well as the team can continually grow together. Also, this one was a really cool fact, and it says, encourage the team to grow into a deeper understanding of others' points of view. I think that's like such an important kind of step, because as a staff, things are going to happen where people disagree, where they disagree with you or disagree with somebody that's in charge, their point of view or their position or the way that they want to do something. So being able to have a good staff and a good team where you're able to process through other people's opinions and personalities and views on the world gives you such a great way to affirm people in their ability to just love on others, as well as just be able to keep the peace more and grow as a staff together through those situations rather than pulling people apart.
I feel like so much of it is like open conversation and welcoming other people's opinions.
Yeah.
And really listening to each other and
yeah.
taking the time to know your staff, mm-hmm. understand what they need, understand what they want, understand what drives them.
Yeah. And that's something that's really important just in all life, in all daily aspects, in everything that you do and everything. I think there's a lot of things that we focus on. I mean, I just feel like that's something that we focus on all the time in this podcast, is how to love on each other by being somebody that is open and is willing to take the time to get to know somebody. And it can be hard in a business setting. And especially when you hire people that you only get to know necessarily during the interview process, it can be hard to be able to say, I want to build a relationship with you. And so I think when we talk hiring on a different episode, that's something that we just have to really focus in on in that hiring process, is knowing what you want out of a person and being able to articulate good questions to get that out of a team, but also being able to realize that in the end, it is a team and it's made of people.
Well said. I think we did it, Kate.
I think we did. So, Rachel, what are your big takeaways?
My takeaways are that it's really a hard job to be a member of the para-optometric staff. It's a skilled position. It takes a lot of mm-hmm. talent, and it requires our recognition. Mm-hmm. And so my action item for the coming para-optometric recognition week will be to recognize a para-optometric staff member with probably some food.
Yeah.
Probably going to give some cupcakes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Food is a necessity.
What are your takeaways and action items?
I think I'm going to also, so right now I'm at school for my externship, and I'm on a team there. I think I can take some of these things of like how to work on a team and like just apply them to my daily life. So even though it's not exactly perfect, I think there is something to be said for whatever team you're on, being able to just like build relationships with these people. So I think that's my takeaway and my action item. I'm going to take away is like, no matter where I am, I can build my team, and my action item is actually doing it. So that's a lot in a week, but I just wanted to tell all of our friends in North Carolina, like, please stay safe. I know we've been talking to Dr. Lyerly, who's based in Raleigh. They didn't have a ton of rain, but she's okay. A lot of people that I've met in Charlotte in the NBEO office, I know they're okay, but I just know that that's really hard and devastating to have that much water and wind and rain, and it just really
scary.
It really causes, yeah, it causes a lot of damage and it's pretty scary. So if you are there and you are listening, know that we are thinking of you and we are mm-hmm. praying for you. And we're just like, want you to know that if you do need something from us, like if you need, I don't know, if there's a way that we can help, give us a holler.
We want to help.
Yeah. We just want to like, yeah, we just want to like help.
Okay. So until next time.
Yeah. I guess until next time.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.